Welcome, welcome, folks, to another electrifying episode of A Shot at Business Central and a Beer. I'm one of your hosts, Michael Introvertolo, and I'm joined by my co-host, Ken Sebahar. Today on episode 49, we've got a tantalizing lineup for you. We'll be diving into the juiciest Business Central news, sampling the delightful Voodoo Ranger Hoppy Pack of Beers, I think it's called, and exploring the impact of artificial intelligence in the realm of Business Central. But before we jump into the exciting topics, let's take a moment to quench our thirst and discuss this month's beer of choice. And right now we're drinking, what are we drinking, Ken?
Well, we'd like to give a special shout out to our unofficial sponsors of our beer choice this month. Equisys.
Correct.
Was gracious enough to send us a sample pack of New Belgium beer.
Yep.
Kind of all IPA sampler packs. Mm-hmm. So we're going to be drinking the Voodoo Ranger Juicy Haze IPA.
And for people who aren't too familiar with the New Belgium brewery or whatnot, I'm going on a limb here, but their most famous beer is probably Fat Tire.
Yes, which I think might have been our first beer.
Second episode, two. Zombie Dust number one.
Yep. Episode two, Fat Tire.
I famously referred to it as Flat Tire.
That's right. Freudian slip.
Yeah.
Yep.
Non-beer drinker.
So thank goodness we are off stouts this month and we're into the pale ales. I just poured mine into a glass, really yellowish, hazy beer. Citrusy smells and aromas, yeah. Hoppy.
It's like a cloudy domestic beer. It got a little bit of cloud to it compared to like a Miller Lite or something like that.
Yeah, kind of looks like a wheat beer.
Yeah.
Almost, yeah, when you pour it.
High alcohol content, right?
Yes, 7.5%.
Which is, to me, it's pretty high for IPAs.
A little refresher. This is a New England style IPA, which is a style of American India Pale Ale, which is odd. American India Pale Ale. Yeah. But that these New England styles feature an intense tropical fruit centric hoppy aroma and flavor, heavily dry hopped to the point of being hazy, with a fuller body, smoother flavor. And generally these are New England style IPAs are perceived as less bitter than a typical IPA.
Yeah. So the IBU though is 42.
It's pretty high.
Which seems pretty high, right?
Mm-hmm.
Let's give it a taste. What's that? Do you swirl it around first? Just go for it.
Summer's upon us. Nothing tastes better than
a good beer.
Nice cold beer.
That's a good beer.
Hot day.
Big change from the stouts that we've been having.
Yeah.
So for all you beer geeks out there, the yeast is American Hefeweizen. I don't know if I'm saying that correct, but
close enough.
Yeah, the hops are Citra, Cascade, Centennial, Simcoe, and Nugget. And the malt is pale wheat, C-80, and oats.
It's pretty good.
Yeah, this is right up your alley.
Yeah,
I'm happy
to be drinking this.
Although high alcohol content for you.
Yeah, 7.5%. That's right at my upper edge there of what I generally enjoy. Try to stay away from the eights and aboves. But of course, I think it's New Belgium, it's not as crafty of a beer. It's a pretty big brewery.
Yeah.
They make a lot of beer.
Age-old debate.
The beer advocate crowd, generally not overly enthused about this.
Too mainstream.
Yeah. So one of them says this beer exists to capitalize on the popularity of hazy IPAs and to deliver it in an inoffensive way so that it's accepted by many.
Inoffensive way. Okay.
Meaning kind of just.
Yeah.
Yeah. Plain Jane, I guess, another one. Meh. All right. Flavor dissipates quickly. But there's some positives. Slick and delicious, nice selection. 7.5% is a great target for this type of beer.
We got to get one of the beer advocate brass on this show, right? Because if it's not a completely crafty beer, as you said earlier, right, it just gets annihilated.
Yeah,
and it's terribly wrong.
Isn't it like anything though? It's like social media, right? Like people IMBD. Just. Yeah, like, Bob Joe 123 says, you know,
yeah,
whatever. I like this couple more little my two favorite ones here. Well, this guy says, I don't like IPAs, but this one is drinkable if you're not turned off by the idea of bitter orange with fat pieces of pulp floating around.
I don't get that. I think he's got the wrong beer.
And then this is the worst IPA I've tasted in a long time. Not as labeled. Reminds me of my Coors Light days. Horrible. Oh. I poured it into the drain where it belongs. I wish I had time to request a refund.
Oh, my God. First of all, Coors Light isn't that bad. Okay. Secondly, it's okay. Not on the same flavor profile as a Coors Light.
That's a little bit different. That's a lot of drama
for a
pretty good beer.
Yeah.
Right?
I'd put that person into a non-person who doesn't drink that much beer.
Yeah. So, but this is I'm loving it. And we're going to enjoy maybe even a couple of these today.
Yeah. It's funny, on the website it says that it's packed with bright tropical aromas and brilliant citrusy flavors. This hazy IPA wraps up with a pleasantly smooth finish. For once, I got to give it to them. I think they hit it dead on.
I think so. Yeah.
So smell.
So what do we have on tap today?
Oh, we got the usual, Ken. No, we were talking about the latest Business Central news. And then for our feature segment, which we kind of went away with last month, but we're bringing it back this month, Ken and I are going to be talking about BC Copilot features and what you can do. And then we're going to finish it off with our new segment called the AI Snack Time, which is quickly developing into one of my favorite segments.
Yeah.
I like it.
It's not to love cutting edge technology and controversy.
Yeah.
It's good stuff.
All right, everybody, stick around. Back for the 49th time, a shot at Business Central. today we got some good news for you. We're going to start off with talking about the Microsoft Business Central update 22.1 that is scheduled to be released on June 6th. So coming up here pretty quick. And I noticed that it has a lot of feature changes added to it, more than I would say than normal. The first one would be turn off event-based sync for specific integration table mappings, which is, I don't know, someone changes coupled records. Business Central automatically synchronizes data with Dataverse.
Some of the new releases that they didn't release with the original update, so they're kind of a month behind.
Right. Next up, we got synchronized returns, refunds from Shopify. Shopify's playing a pretty big part lately with Business Central. I see I'm starting to see more interest
in that for sure.
Yeah. We got a save time with automatic account codes. I thought this might be one that Ken would like, where it says that you can use customized posting groups to automate recurring transactions in journals, sales documents, or purchase documents. These posting groups can be used throughout Business Central to trigger automatic postings and allocations across different accounts or dimensions. Does that sound right?
Sure. So it's kind of like almost like a shortcut, kind of quick key. Yeah. So you don't have to fill in all these fields. If you could just enter like a shortcut, and then it fills in multiple fields based on that shortcut code.
Nice. Kinda. And then we got some Swedish localization delivered as extension. Attach AL debugger to active session or next session.
Ooh, yeah,
that's a big one.
Yeah.
non-deductible, partly deductible VAT expands the functionality. And this one I thought that was already implemented was partners can control welcome banner text. So when a user signs into a new company for the first time, Business Central shows that welcome banner.
Yeah.
Now you can actually edit the call to actions, but I thought that was already possible. Maybe I'm wrong. And last but definitely not least, you can measure onboarding time of customers, apps, and features. This is really geared towards helping users assist, you know, learning features and functionality, trying to find out where they're hung up on and stepping in. So,
yeah. All right. So I would like to start my updates with a review. I was May 22nd through the 25th. I was in Scottsdale, Arizona for the Dynamics User Group, Dynamics Con Live conference, which was great. And I thought that instead of just explaining to you all what happened and my experience there, I would read everybody the letter that I wrote to you, Michael, during my visit while I was there.
Can't wait. I'm blushing with anticipation.
Okay. So here we go. May 25th, 2023. Dear Michael, my journey from Chicago was a success. I've arrived at DynamicsCon Live 2023. Scottsdale, Arizona is a beautiful place, and the Scottsdale Plaza Resort's grounds are even more beautiful. I've already seen many familiar faces as I checked in, as well as many new faces, which was very cool to see. The welcome reception was a little on the warm side, but I like it warm. And besides, the fresh lime made the ice-cold Coronas taste even better. The halls were filled with sponsors and exhibitors excitedly preparing their booths and ready to share how their apps would benefit all of the users attending. I think most of the 600-plus attendees were taking advantage of the many content sessions focused on BC, Power Platform, as well as GP, F&O, and CE, or CRM. The meals were all excellent, and the community reception was very well done. My favorite thing, of course, being the donkeys walking around with their packs filled with more ice-cold Coronas. Yes, live donkeys.
Okay.
These tasted particularly good after I was able to sneak in a run out in the 95-plus degree weather, and of course, a quick dip in one of the pools. I may or may not have remembered to bring my bathing suit. I met several new people over the course of the conference that I think will benefit us in the future. I learned about some new apps, caught up with some existing partners, and shared what we do and how we do it with others. Being in a relaxed, comfortable environment at a conference like this really helps to create these conversations and connections. I was provided an opportunity to lead a session at the conference, and the session was called Equipment Service, Service Management Jobs or Other. For the first session of the day, on the last day of the conference, I had a really energetic and engaged group in the room that I hope was able to walk away with some new knowledge, either for me or perhaps more likely from the great participation and contributions made by the other attendees at the session. Creating these discussions between the attendees is what I truly enjoy most about leading a session at a user conference. Overall, Denise and Molly and their entire team at the Dynamics User Group put on a first-class event. This was the third annual DynamicsCon Live event and my second event attended. I don't have the official numbers, but it appears to me as if this conference has been about doubling in size each year. So I would be surprised if there were any fewer than 1,000 attendees at next year's event, which, in case you were wondering, is scheduled for May 13th through the 16th in Denver, Colorado. Start your planning now. Your friend, Ken.
Amazing. Great letter. So they really had donkeys walking around with ice cold beer?
They did.
That's something you don't see every day.
Yeah. With the, a guy walking, leading them on a little leash. He had like two saddlebags on there with ice, packed with ice and some bottles of Corona.
I like it. So it was a good time, but very hot.
It was warm. It was hot, but I'd rather go someplace hot than someplace cold.
Yeah. And you're inside though, right? The sessions.
Yeah. Everything's inside except for the receptions were. One of them was completely outside. The other one was half inside, half outside. But it was a great job. So
do you think it's going to be around for a while, this conference? It's here to stay?
I think so. Yeah. I hope so.
Right. How'd your session go?
It went really well. A lot of good feedback and participation from everyone, which was great. And I think most people got something out of it. Few people were specifically looking to learn, like, how could they use service management more for like post sale support and service.
Yeah. Thanks. Well, I can't really follow up that with anything better than donkeys walking around with cold beer on 95 degree weather in a nice setting. But I've got some on-premise news for the Business Central community. We don't talk too much about BC on-premise lately, but with this latest 2023 R1 update, it included a revamped Cronus license. So the new license is still going to be limited to accounting periods from November through February only, and all other application restrictions like the past. So the new license will only be shipped in .BC license format and will not be possible to use with older versions of Business Central or Nav. It's valid for 10 years from now, so no need to update it frequently.
Yeah.
You can run automated tests in any period of the year. Only the UI has limits on periods. All ranges in the demo license are now open. The new license does allow partners to create an app with IDs and number ranges they don't have license to in a container or in a development environment. In this case, you can only publish the app to your production environment if you either create a runtime package or you import the Cronus license to your production environment. And last but definitely not least, RIMDX, in the business, did anybody say like RIMDX or?
I don't know. I'll let you say that.
RIMDX permissions on all objects.
Read, modify, delete, execute.
Right. On all objects in 1 to 99.999.99 range, which includes all MS and App Store ranges, plus the system tables. This will permit you to publish, install, and run any App Store app with a demo license in an on-premise environment.
Okay.
Here we go.
And just a little tip, you mentioned, so just like the Cronus license, that's kind of the demo license, right? that can be downloaded. And I did notice that starting in the latest release now, yeah, when you go to download a new license file, it is only the new BC license format.
Yeah.
So if you've been used to installing your licenses on old versions for years and you upgrade to an on-premise new version, you're going to have to learn some new tricks on how to install that new license file.
Yeah.
So I think so. Yeah.
Nice. Well, there we go. Some on-premise news.
Yep. So you may or may not have come across an email or a web page or a news article about Microsoft touting their new Dynamics 365 implementation portal. Certainly caught my eye because it looked like it was filled with tools that could help a company implement Dynamics 365. So I did some research. I went in, I connected, I started to set this up like as a customer for one of our customers. And I walked through it. I had to fill in a bunch of information like a tenant ID, a partner code, name, all this, you know, a few, like 10 different fields. And then it gets to a screen and the screen says, you know, I have to name the project and all this stuff. And then it says, okay, which of the following is the scope of your product, of your project? Is it Dynamics 365 Commerce, customer service, customer voice, field service, finance, marketing, sales, project operations, supply chain management? No Business Central. So
come on, man.
the news for today is if you happen to come across Dynamics 365 implementation portal, it is not currently applicable for Business Central.
Yeah, you don't want to spend all that time going through the setup. Like, yeah,
don't waste your time like me.
So why? Where's the love at Microsoft?
I don't know. They didn't even, you know, they could have just said like right on the front page, this is for not this. Currently available for Business Central. I would have saved about 15, 20 minutes.
But crazy.
Whatever.
All right. Well, I got something that's a little bit different too. Dynamics 365 Business Central 2023 Wave 1 release, so version 22, officially supports SQL Server 2022. Some of the features included with this are introduction of ordered clustered column store indexes, more efficient and reduced file logs, improved security through integration with the popular Microsoft Defender, always on and high availability, improved Azure Active Directory authentication, also integration with Microsoft Purview, which is a data governance solution, which I had not heard of before. and then access to the new SQL server ledger. So making some strides.
You love hitting those technical announcements.
I don't know why. I'm completely opposite, right?
I just little note. I went out onto AppSource, looking for some apps, of course. And it just caught my eye that there's currently 3,772 apps available, as of the beginning of June. So that number continues. I think it's about 100 a month.
Yeah,
it seems right like new apps getting put out there. Again, kind of no easy way to identify what those 100 new apps are each month. But you know, the more searches you do, it seems like the more and more results I get when I'm searching for something. So that's exciting to see. And also I did, one of the things that Microsoft announced is they are officially releasing the ability for app developers to monetize those apps right through AppSource. So they're starting with a few apps right now. I'm not sure how many are out there, mm-hmm. but what you'll see, what's going to be different is if you go into an app and you click on the app and you're looking at the details, there will be more and more, you're going to see a buy now button. So there may be a free trial button like there is today, but then there will be a buy now button. When you click buy now, you can actually transact that app through Microsoft right there. And currently there's only one licensing model available. It's basically you have to pay a dollar amount per Business Central user.
Gotcha.
So that's really the only way you can do the apps. Now you can, app developers can create pricing tiers so that they could say like, oh, if you're 1 to 10 users, you pay $10 per user. If you're 11 to 50 users, you pay $8 per user and kind of, you know, give you price breaks that way. In the future, they're going to be adding per tenant pricing, meaning just a once a month fixed cost, regardless of how many users you have. And then the third type they're going to be adding is what they call metered, which could be any sort of transaction count. So maybe it's per posted sales invoice per month. You pay a fee or per expense report if it's an expense reporting app.
It's definitely a step in the right direction.
Yeah. Right? So they're making it simpler and easier for companies to kind of streamline that buying process so that end users can actually transact right through the AppSource.
They know they need to switch up some things with AppSource. So.
And then just last announcement is Community Summit. Is scheduled for October 15th through the 20th in Charlotte, North Carolina at the Charlotte Convention Center. Early registration, kind of a discounted registration, expires on June 30th. So if you're considering heading to North Carolina in October for the Summit Conference, User Conference, you may want to consider registering by June 30th to save yourself a little bit of money. And I'm not 100% sure if we'll be attending. Most likely we will. That should be a good one.
All right. That about does it for the news. Next up, we have Ken's going to be talking about what might one day be the holy grail of Business Central, BC Copilot. So that's going to be our next feature. So.
All right, welcome back to our feature spotlight segment. Feels like it's been a few months since we've honed in on a specific feature. But since 2023 Wave 1 is now officially deployed, I thought we should start with what most people probably would agree is the sexiest new feature of Business Central, if Business Central can be sexy.
This makes it sexy.
So what we're going to be talking about is the new Copilot integration. So this is Microsoft's AI, right? Incorporated into Business Central. And so let me just kind of read the description that Microsoft in their announcement kind of said for this. Copilot in Business Central streamlines the creation of product listings for online commerce. Product attributes such as color, material, and size can be used to create compelling product descriptions for online storefronts in seconds. The descriptions can be further tailored by choosing tone of voice, format, and length. Business Central customers using Shopify can seamlessly publish the products with descriptions to their Shopify store in just a few clicks. So I said, all right, let's check this out. So I went into my demo environment in Business Central online. And the first thing I noticed that I had to do is the first thing I noticed is that this feature was not enabled by default. So like many new features that Microsoft releases, they actually keep them disabled until someone goes in and enables the new feature in the feature management page. So I opened up the feature management page. I found create AI powered product descriptions with Copilot, and I flipped the enable from none to all users. It told me I had to log out and log back in for the changes to take effect. So I did that. I then went in and I went to one of my items. My item is set up with a pretty, I have an item number, a pretty detailed description. I have a picture and I have several attributes set up, length, width, color, and some other things.
Okay.
So what I did was on the ribbon on the top of the item card page, there's a new menu option called marketing text. And when you click on marketing text, it kind of walks you through a wizard where it says by using Azure OpenAI, you consent to your data being shared with Microsoft services that might be outside your organization, selected geographic boundaries, and might have different compliance and security standards than Microsoft Dynamics 365 Business Central. Your privacy is important to us. You can choose whether or not to share condition, and then there's links to learn more. I just hit agree.
Yes, most would.
After that, it told me that the AI capabilities are enabled. We've enabled intelligent features that are governed by terms and conditions with, again, the links. And then it tells me, it says, here's what you need to know about this new feature. This feature is experimental and your administrator must have enabled it. Suggestions are AI generated and may be incorrect. You must review suggestions to make sure they are accurate and appropriate. And this feature runs on the Azure OpenAI service. Click close. And then it then launched a Create with Copilot page where I hit a button called Create Draft.
Okay.
When I hit Create Draft, it sat for a couple seconds and I can kind of see the bar moving,
yeah,
you know, a little bit to still show me that it's doing something. And this is the message that it came up with. First of all, there was a tagline. I had it set to tagline and description. You can set it to tagline, description, tagline, and description.
So it's generating though based off of an image now?
Well, I believe it's basing
it
on the item description and attributes.
Is that what you had already put into it?
All in there, okay. Yep. So the item was already set up. So, and this was an action clamp that I had set up as a demo item. And here, the tagline it created is, unlock your potential with the SL Action Clamp 302 Hex Head. So that was the name of the item. And then here's the detailed description it came up with. The SL Action Clamp 302 Hex Head is a powerful tool that will help you unlock your potential. This innovative product is designed with stainless steel attribute and comes in a bright blue color attribute, making it ideal for any task. The hex head measures 1.5 centimeters in width attribute and 6.5 centimeters in height attribute, mm-hmm, providing you with a secure and reliable grip. With the SL Action Clamp 302 hex head, you'll be able to take on any challenge without fear. No matter the task, the SL Action Clamp 302 Hex will help you to achieve your goals and unlock your full potential. With its sturdy and durable construction, you can trust that it will last for years to come. Give yourself the edge and get the SL Action Clamp 302 Hex Head today.
And that took about what, 30 seconds?
10?
10 seconds? It's not bad. Not bad for 10 seconds.
I'm not sure it will help me take on any challenge. It's a pretty specific tool.
Yeah.
But I get what they mean, right? But yeah, it wasn't bad. It was like, better than I expected.
Yeah, it had all the attributes in it, everything. I mean,
right? Now what you can do is once it comes up with it, you can undo it, you can clear the text, you can also edit it. And there's so you could just click in the text box and delete a sentence if you don't want it, or add something that you want to add or revise it however you want. You can also insert links and bold or underline text. So there's some text formatting that you can do inside there as well.
I wonder if you were to clear the text and redo it, how close it would be to what it already did, right? You know what I mean? Since it's pulling from, you know, data stored somewhere.
Yeah, that's a good test. And maybe what we can do is we can do that right now on the fly. If I open this up and I clear the text and I create a new draft. It's creating. Here we go. The SL Action Clamp 302 Hex Head is the perfect tool for securing your success. Its blue finish and stainless steel construction make it a durable and reliable choice, ideal for a wide range of projects. Very different.
Gotcha. Yeah.
So that was a completely different.
Yeah. So it's.
With its superior design and quality, it ensures that your work is secure and reliable. So kind of similar. Get today and never worry about a project going wrong again.
So in essence, you could clear and redo until you actually find one that you like or that you want to edit the least amount.
Right. Yep.
And that literally took 3 seconds.
Yeah. So that's pretty cool.
It's pretty amazing.
Yep. So now that was an item with a pretty deep, you know, pretty nice description and a bunch of attributes created. I did a couple more tests. The next test I did, it was for a chair, blue guest chair. And again, it did a really nice job incorporating the dimensions. And this one here is like, just as a quick example, the Tokyo guest chair is the perfect way to add a touch of style and comfort to any office space. This beautiful chair features a classic design with a deep blue cotton upholstery and a solid wood frame with legs. Now, that stuff isn't in the attributes. I don't know. I believe it might have been looking at the picture. I'm not sure. If it's analyzing the image
there's no blue or look at that.
It does incorporate the different dimensions that were included as the attributes, but it talks about being a plush, comfortable chair that you can sink into, classic style, comfortable design. You know, so
interesting. Is it a cotton chair?
It's impossible to tell. It's a fabric.
Interesting.
It's a cloth, you know, definitely.
It must analyze the damage. And I think it does. I think I remember Microsoft saying that.
Yeah. So that's pretty cool. Now I did another item, and this item may be more typical of what a lot of our customers will have in Business Central, which is an item number and a description. And my description on this item was a scroll. The text that it came up with is scroll to new heights with scroll. So not as much, right?
A lot to work with, right?
Yeah. Doing the best it can, right? I guess. And then I did do another one. I wanted to see if it would incorporate the picture. And so this one didn't have any attributes. It was just an item number, a description called a Springfield lamp, comma, white. And I did have a picture of a lamp in there. And the and what it came up with is brighten your home with the Springfield lamp white.
Yeah, that's subpar.
So that's pretty weak. But to your point, let's do another one where we go see if I can redo it. And if it comes up with a different description, maybe this.
Is this for the image?
Yeah, so it I have the image. Let's clear the text and create a new draft. Light up your life with Springfield lamps.
But that's still in the description, right? Springfield lamp.
Yes. Shine bright with your Springfield lamp.
Can you do it with a Tokyo chair one? Because I think that one has some color in it and it might be able to read it better. I don't know if it's able to read what this lamp is.
What the picture looks like.
The Tokyo one's interesting because it you know, cotton, blue, solid wood frame with legs.
Yeah, I can see if I can find a picture here. I need to make everybody wait.
Note though, this is, you know, very nice and whatnot for Business Central, but I still think that they're lagging behind with AI capabilities for Business Central. I think you know, the possibilities are endless.
Yeah.
And compared to some other ones.
Now, when I just imported this picture, I imported a different picture into the Springfield lamp item. It's actually a metal screw with a red head on it. And it did pop open a box asking me to assign attributes to it based on its interpretation of the
picture.
Now the Copilot text is coming up the same. Light up your life with Springfield lamp.
Even with the new picture and attributes?
Yeah.
Interesting.
No attributes. I didn't save the attributes.
Oh.
But I did put the picture of a metal fastener with a red head on it.
So maybe it doesn't analyze the picture. Maybe
I'm not sure.
Maybe that Tokyo chair has attributes listed.
So yeah, so it may be worthwhile to definitely to set up the attributes to get that language. But
if you're doing a bunch of items, I mean, this is a real time saver. Even if you have to edit a little bit here and there of what it spits out to you. I mean, you know, if you have, I don't know, 10,000 items, you know what I mean?
Yeah. Yeah. You just got to get the attributes right.
Right. Which hopefully you will if it's your business.
Yeah. Well, a lot of times, the issue is a lot of times if let's say if you're doing distribution, right, or you purchase a lot of products from a vendor, you may import a list of 1,000 items from a vendor's catalog.
Yeah.
To get those all so that users can buy any of those 1,000 products. You're
if one little thing's
not, you're not going to have attributes in that example. You may also notice a more settings button on the Create with Copilot page. When you click on more settings, there's a couple additional fields that pop up on the header. So the first one is emphasize a quality, and it's a drop-down list of predefined choices. And the emphasize a quality could be on innovation, sustainability, power, elegance, reliability, or speed. So depending on what type of product it is, if it's an engine, right, you might want to make a reliability, you know, or speed or power or whatever it might be, something in there. If it's an environmental product, you know, sustainability or chemicals or whatever it is. Not right. And then the second field is tone of voice.
Oh,
so you have formal, casual, inspiring, upbeat, or creative. So the one I had picked was inspiring. And that's what's great about, like, where you can clear text, change these one or two of these different fields, and then recreate a new draft to see how that language changes.
I like it. It's pretty cool that you can choose your tone of voice or whatever. Formal, inspiring, upbeat. That's different.
Yeah. So, yeah, pretty cool. So, you know, that's It's there. It's there. It's functioning. I guess the lesson learned is that it's there. It works. It's quick. It comes up with nice flowery language. You just have to have, it looks like it's really relying on the attributes.
Right. And I don't think it's scaring anybody, right? You know, this isn't the type of AI that people are afraid of yet. This is just almost along the lines of machine learning.
Yeah. So, and, you know, I'm sure, you know, this is version one, just like anything else. Right. I think, you know, stay tuned and what, you know, to what degree this feature gets advanced and improved. And I'm sure there will be additional Copilot features deployed into Business Central over the coming years.
Yeah, I could absolutely see it just analyzing the picture and filling everything in for you.
Analyzing data. I mean, come on. Yeah. That's the most obvious
one,
right? Yeah. Is you've got all this data sitting there.
Yeah.
Help me analyze that data.
Yeah, but no, but I think for items, I think eventually it's going to be able to analyze the picture and then create everything else for it just off the picture.
Right.
Eventually.
Yeah, fantastic. Yeah.
Well, along the lines of AI, we've got one of our favorite segments coming up next. What is it?
Snack time with AI, and I'm hungry.
Let's do it. Back for our segment, AI Snack Time, the second one that we've had. And it's over, man. The world's over. AI's taken over. Nothing we can do. Nobody's going to have jobs, nothing.
I'm just going to go to the beach and sit in the sun.
Better check AI to see the numbers on the sun and drink exposure. Beer. Yeah, that's the way to do it. No. But AI is becoming more and more popular every month. More and more people are using it.
We should say, there's more and more hype each month.
Yeah.
Are we nearing the peak of the hype? Or are we just starting?
Depends. If it proves to be more beneficial than what everybody might think it is, then we're not even close. I feel like there's two groups, right? I'm in the kind of group where I think the possibilities are endless. Everybody needs to learn AI. It's going to be great. I'm not worried about the world ending. And you might be in the other group.
Whistling past the graveyard.
Yeah, whistling past the graveyard. Glass half full.
Life's rosy. Yeah, and
I think there's only right. Like the internet was one of the main changes in my life that people. I think this has the potential to be bigger than the internet. To be honest with you, because I think this will affect every facet of life that there is.
So before we dive too deep. it is snack time. And before we get too far into the weeds, you know, if you hear me crunching and munching throughout this, I am enjoying my snack. These are not high-end snacks, people. Today we're enjoying the fine delicacies of some Flamin' Hot Funyuns.
Yeah.
So this is just pure garden snack food.
But it's good.
Right? Some pasty, salty snacks.
Yeah, no health benefit whatsoever to this.
Some spice, some salt, some fat. I mean, that's what we need.
Oh, it goes great with beer.
So, and we're also enjoying our second New Belgium IPA. This is the Voodoo Ranger IPA we're having.
Yeah.
A little bit lighter.
Bit lighter. Not as tasty, not as fruity, not as citrusy.
Yeah.
More towards like a domestic beer, just a regular. You got a little bit more taste than regular beer.
But. And a special thank you again to our unofficial sponsor of this podcast, Equisys, who provided the beer.
Yes, thank you very much.
Maker of Zetadocs document management and expense reporting.
Absolutely.
For Business Central.
One of the most popular apps.
So back to AI business.
All right. Well, let's kick it off with, did you know that Microsoft now has a new AI page? This page provides you with useful background on Microsoft's approach, tools, features, everything you can think of with and more for AI. And it's funny because I came across this quote. You know, if there are any misconceptions to where Microsoft stood on the use of AI, especially lately when you have all these tech people signing this petition to slow down AI. Here's a quote from Satya Nadella. It says, "The age of AI is upon us and Microsoft is powering it. We're witnessing nonlinear improvements in the compatibility of foundation models. I'm sorry, in the capability of foundation models which we are making available as platforms. So Microsoft is a business, no doubt about it, all in on AI, as a lot of businesses are, right? You want to be the first one to harness the power and you know, sell it. So can't blame them. Now on this Microsoft AI page, it actually listed a couple AI in action Microsoft stats. So let me read a few to you. Okay. Azure AI is already used by over 85% of Fortune 100 companies today. All right. That number might be a little bit higher than what I thought, but, you know.
A lot of it might be behind the scenes.
Exactly. Right? Exactly. Exactly. A recent Microsoft survey found that 89% of employees and business decision makers that have access to automation and AI-powered tools feel more fulfilled because they can spend time on work that truly matters. As a result, 9 out of 10 hope they can apply AI solutions to even more tasks and activities. So that's real nice, right? People want to stop doing the repetitive tasks they do. If AI can help them do it and they can focus on some other stuff, great, helps them with their job. Over 9 billion slides have been improved by AI and PowerPoint designers so far. 9 billion, pretty big number.
Yeah.
Now here's one that got me. It says GitHub Copilot is already writing 46% of code, and it helps developers code up to 55% faster. 46% of code. Now, I know that Microsoft claims that GitHub AI has been out for 2 years. Okay, in my eye, it's been out for 2 months. But 46% of code, that is an astonishing number.
Yeah. Is
it true? I don't know. If you had to have guessed, I would have said 8 to 10% tops right now that it was writing code for developers.
Yeah. I mean, I think probably people who have plugged it in and started using it have started seeing it auto-generating. You know, if it's on a character by character basis, right? Like that's how they come up with the percent, like yeah, of all lines of code, it's 46% of the lines, yeah, are
still. That's a lot.
Yeah.
In my opinion.
Yeah. That's a huge productivity improvement.
Yeah. It's crazy. All right. Here's some Microsoft customer examples. The NBA, very popular right now with the playoffs and the finals coming up.
Sure.
They use Personalizer, part of Azure Cognitive Services, to turn billions of data points into insightful metrics to further engage fans. Pepsi uses Azure Machine Learning to identify consumer shopping trends that produce store-level actionable insights. They've used Azure AI to improve predictions by more than 40% for product recommendations. That's a pretty big number. Progressive Insurance uses Azure Text-to-Speech to bring their Flow chatbot to life. And last but not least, CarMax used Azure OpenAI service to help summarize 100,000 customer reviews into short descriptions that surface key takeaways for each make, model, year, and vehicle in inventory. That one is kind of along the lines of Business Central, right? Put some attributes in,
yeah,
change some things, and integrate some whatnot. I don't know. Can I personally think, like I said, Microsoft or AI here to stay. Everybody's going to learn it. It's going to be a tool that everybody wants to use or has to use, and will take over the world.
Yeah, I mean, Microsoft is definitely trying to stay at that leading edge of AI. I mean, I think they kind of got the kind of that front runner status, right? Right? If you think about that, like we're in a really long race, right? So this is like the 10K race at the Olympics, right? And you have the guy that gets out, and they're running like, I don't know what, like 24 laps, yeah, right, around the track or something. And the first lap or two, you get the guy that goes out to the front, right? That's kind of where we're at, right? Like we're at the first lap,
yeah,
maybe. And Microsoft is that front runner kind of, right. And then on their heels are, right, Google and others, right?
Yeah, Facebook.
So everything. So they're kind of the front runner, right? I think they're trying to really do whatever they can to cement that lead. We, as a Microsoft partner, received an email from Microsoft about a week or two ago, announcing their latest developer innovations, focusing on building in the new era of AI. It was literally an unreadable email. There was so much new stuff that they're throwing out there.
Yeah.
It was unbelievable. There's Azure AI Studio, Azure AI Prompt Flow, Azure AI Plugins, Foundation Models in Azure Machine Learning, Vector Search Capability in Azure Cognitive Search, Provision Throughput Model. I mean, I'm going to stop now, but that's only page 2 of 9.
Right.
Okay. Like they're throwing this at the wall.
Yeah.
And, you know, even if 10 to 20% of these tools end up sticking and catching on and being productive tools, it'll be a lot.
Yeah.
Right. They're doing everything they can to put this in there and use AI where they can.
Now, do you think, because like we mentioned before, I think 600 people signed a petition, some big wigs like Elon Musk and whatnot signed a petition to have some sort of government regulation and make for AI development to slow down for 6 months so they can put in place some regulations and whatnot. Now, do you think somebody like Microsoft or Google or Facebook, some of these big technology companies, would slow down unless they're made to?
No,
because they want the money, they want the revenue, and they want.
Well, not only that, but let's say that, you know, Google and Amazon and Microsoft and whoever decides, Meta, they decide to slow down. Who is to say other companies in other countries around the world are going to slow down?
Yeah.
Right. It's kind of like it's like the climate accord, right? Like, oh, the world has gotten together and we've all agreed that we're going to live within these limits to save the planet. Oh, but by the way, the world's number one largest polluter isn't currently part of this, or they don't really have anything to do with this.
Yeah.
Like it's that kind of the same thing,
yeah.
Like where everyone else is following the rules, right? But
somebody's not.
Some going people to. Aren't, and right. Who's? I don't think it's practical to expect a global agreement by all parties to agree to one framework or a pause or guardrails, air quotes,
yeah,
or whatever you want to call it.
Do you think it's important then for a company to become the first one to perfect AI so that they can effectively control AI?
Well, I don't know that. How can you perfect AI? You talk about like they call it what they call artificial general intelligence.
Yeah. Or it's sentient and whatnot. Yeah. I mean, I don't know.
I don't know that there's going to be one
company
platform or whatever that has that. Right.
Yeah.
Won't there be spinoffs and multiple versions? And I mean, of course, there's going to be many, many focused AI platforms. Right. You may have an AI focused platform that focuses on the automotive industry or one that focuses on medical.
Yeah.
Right. Medical research. Right. And those are very specific with very specific goals and data sets that they know. And that's where I think the biggest business value is going to be.
Yeah.
Are those AI tools where you're able to get through this universe of knowledge in a specific area and leverage that to make breakthroughs in technology, science, medicine, those types of things. But general intelligence, that's to me, it's, I don't know. It's, I don't understand it. It's loosey goosey.
Yeah.
What is it?
Yeah. I think for me, the biggest issue I have with AI is that somebody's always going to be controlling it and therefore it's always going to have some sort of bias. Right. And I do not think that is correct. Right. Or should be, right. It should not be, but I can't see a way to ever get around that.
Well, not only bias, but I don't know, lies, right? Misinformation. Like, yeah, like
somebody's controlling it.
It makes things up. If it, yeah, if it doesn't know it, it will make it up. It will make up an answer. Mm-hmm. So how can you distinguish between what's real data,
yeah,
and what's not? It like almost said, to a certain point, if you get to a certain level, to me, I can see an argument where it almost makes it not valuable. Like if it's going to interpret something and it knows I'm looking for a result, is it just going to give me a result?
Well, I think the way to get around that is it has to have references, right? What makes Google search and Bing search so, right? You type in something and you get these websites and you can actually see if it's a reputable website or somebody you want to believe. Right. I think ChatGPT needs to have, or any AI needs to have that included with it so that I know where you're pulling information from and whether or not. I mean, if you're pulling it from Wikipedia and Joe Schmo's blog from down the street, you know what I mean? I don't know if I want to believe this answer, but.
Yeah, I mean, you touched on kind of some of the dangers of it. I mean, you know, if I have to play this role, I'm happy to do so. But like I'm sure people have heard in the news little tidbits, but there's I think it's called the Center for AI Safety. I don't know whoever it is, but this group that gets together and they've written this open letter to voice their concerns about the risks of AI. And the key quote here is mitigating the risk of extinction from AI should be a global priority alongside other societal scale risks such as pandemics and nuclear war. Yeah, I would say human extinction should be a concern.
Yeah.
Right. In addition to nuclear war. And this, just to be clear, this is not signed by a bunch of fringe lunatics. Right? This is not like, you know, Joe's mama on Twitter.com.
Yeah.
Hashtag.
Say whatever, yeah.
This is the CEO of Google DeepMind, the CEO of OpenAI, professors at major universities around the world.
Elon Musk.
Yeah, I mean, it's crazy. These people are at the forefront, right? These are the people that everyone should be listening to, and they're raising the alarm bells as loudly as they can right now.
All right, so Ken, I don't know if you remember, you sent me this email back on May 5th that said Amazon reportedly recently warned employees not to share confidential information with ChatGPT for fear that it might show up in answers. It's interesting because I think that might be one of the fears that a lot of people have is the stuff that we're inputting into AI, specifically ChatGPT, is that AI service taking that information and storing it so that they can use it to answer other people's questions and therefore ultimately having competitors ask the right questions and getting privileged information to, you know, try to get a step above their competitors. And to tell you the truth, I don't know. Right.
Right.
I don't know.
Yeah. And no one kind of does know.
Yeah. Right? I think doesn't Microsoft say something about.
Yeah. That's why all these companies, like you mentioned kind of one of them, but multiple companies, JP Morgan Chase and Verizon have barred use of these tools internally. You talked about Amazon, Apple has restricted use of ChatGPT. They're concerned that they could release confidential data.
Yeah.
So there's a lot of companies now that are walking very cautiously.
Yeah. I think though the assumption should be whenever you're using a cloud-based software, right, that your information is always stored, no matter regardless of what somebody says. You know, because they're taking the information into their onto their platforms. It's stored, seen by somebody, right? Something along the line.
Yeah.
But is it used then again to educate others? I don't know. I hope not.
Well, Is it used? Is it stored? Can it be accessed by people that maybe you don't want to have it? And then can they take that and then can they go do something with that data and misuse it?
I would say that, yes.
Those are questions. Not just because is it training the new AI, but is that data now out there somewhere by one of your competitors or someone else that should have it? And if you, because this is a Business Central podcast, I went into Business Central. I went into the item card, went into the marketing text, and you can click on a link called Read Preview Terms. And it opens up a legal docs page, supplemental terms for use for Microsoft Power Platform and Dynamics 365 preview for online services is what this page is called. And there's a whole bunch of stuff on here, mm-hmm. but related to data, there's two bullet points.
Okay.
The first bullet point pertains to training their data models. It says that the AOAI, Azure Open AI previews, do not use customer data submitted to the service or output content to train, retrain, or improve the foundation models used by Open AI previews.
Okay.
Okay.
So the stuff you enter, they're not sharing that with anybody through their platform.
What they're saying is that the customer data that you submit to them is not used to train, retrain, or improve their AI models.
Okay.
Right. Yeah. So they're not incorporating into the AI. Mm-hmm. The next bullet point says additional data use. As part of providing the Open AI previews, Microsoft will process and store customer data submitted to the service, as well as output content, for purposes of monitoring for and preventing abuse or harmful uses or outputs of the service.
According to who, though? Right, abuse and according to who? That's the issue.
It continues. Authorized Microsoft employees may review data that has triggered our automated systems to investigate and verify potential abuse unless product documentation for a given OpenAI preview explicitly states that such a review is not performed.
So if you happen to be on the opposite end of the political spectrum that Microsoft is on, or any other company, you could be nervous that they might, you know, do something to, I don't know, influence you or whatnot. That's the hard part.
Right. Or
because I think once, sorry, I think once,
if anyone think it's much, much wider net than just political. Right.
Yeah.
Anyone that could make an argument on their own that what you're doing could be interpreted as abusive or harmful, that right. now becomes fair game.
Right. Yeah.
For exactly. analysis.
Right. According to who exactly? What's abusive and whatnot, right? Who's to say? I mean, there's certain clear-cut lines, but
there's a lot of gray.
Yeah, I know. Yeah, like imagine, you know, a bunch of kids are going to go on ChatGPT and they're going to type in stupid things. How do I create, I don't know, a chocolate sprinkle exploding bomber? You know, just some weird stuff. You know what I mean? Is that enough to allow them access into your information and who knows what else?
Yeah, there's a lot. There's a lot that is not yet
defined.
Yeah, defined, and that's why some people are saying let's pause, let's figure out what we need to do here. But I think, I mean, as much as people may want to do that, if anything, the foot has been pressed onto the accelerator.
Yeah, it's too late.
It's
you got to win the battle.
Speeding up, not slowing down.
Yeah. Well. All I can say is I hope Microsoft wins the battle. I like Satya Nadella. I believe in what he does. I don't think he's out to harm anybody. You know what I mean? I think he's really grounded. So
yeah, and I think between, you know, again, if you're a Business Central user, I think one, you can count on additional efficiency tools being built into Business Central using AI. as well as all of the related Microsoft products, Office, Outlook, Excel, and all those other Teams and other tools that you use that are all kind of integrated together to create a really, really compelling solution.
Yeah. Real quick, do you see AI ever being able to do something like in Business Central or, you know, audit completely automated like month end or year end? Can you see that as a possibility?
I mean, it's hard for me to imagine. I mean, I'd be dumb to say no.
Yeah.
Right. Like, oh yeah, of course.
2 days later.
The thing is, every business is different. Yeah. Every company's different. They have different rules, guidelines, policies, procedures, reports that they run to you to manage their business. Mm-hmm. You know, if you sell widgets, trust me, the 50 companies out there that sell widgets don't all use the same processes and reports and commission structures and pricing models. They're all different. So, you know, I'm sure it will be able to assist with uncovering maybe anomalies in the data.
Mm-hmm.
And things like that.
Yeah, recognizing patterns.
To help maybe reckon with reconciliation and things like that. But I just think there's so much that is unique about each company out there running Business Central. It's hard to envision where it gets to like no one's doing anything and it's just all hunky dory.
No issues, no troubles, no nothing.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know. All right. Well, I got nothing else left for the AI snack time. Always a fun little topic. How about you?
I'm good. Yep. Looking forward to some more exciting news over the next 30 days and hashing it out next month over some new snacks.
Real quick, though, we got to rate the beers.
Yeah.
All right. I'll go first. So we started out with the Juicy Haze IPA.
Let's rate that one.
Yeah. I'm going solid. 86. I'm giving it 86. I liked it. Good summer beer, good citrusy, good color, good flavor. Not as bitter as the number makes it out to be, 42. Now let's move on to the Voodoo Ranger IPA. It was good. Not as good as the Juicy Haze IPA. I'm going to put this along the lines of, you know, your regular domestic beers. I'm going to give it a solid 76. Good old 76.
76, huh?
Yeah.
All right. Let's see. I got a cheat here, you know.
Ken's pulling up the cheat sheet.
So I'm going to go looking at this here. It's like, you know, where do I want one of these guys?
What would you liken it to?
I got to go with the hazy. I'm going to go. 85.
Oh, you liked it.
I'm going to go 85 for both because both? Yeah, I think they're very, I mean, they're different, but they're both IPAs by New Belgium. One's a little hazier, a little stronger. One's a little crisper,
yeah,
a little bit lighter. But I'm going to go 85 for both.
85 for both. Wow. Yeah. Wouldn't have pegged you for both, but nice.
Yeah. Cause I'm thinking right now, if you forced me to pick, like if I had to have another one, which one I would have.
Yeah. I definitely go with the Juicy Haze IPA. I like the fruitiness in it. I don't know why. It's just,
it's the New England style, my friend.
Yeah. Like I should have thrown an orange slice in it, to be honest with you.
Yeah. You don't got to ward off that scurvy.
All right, everybody, don't forget, share the podcast, like it, let us know what your thoughts are, and we will see everybody next month. Ken, take us home.
Bye-bye.
As we end today's podcast, we want to give a big thank you to everyone who listens, shares this podcast, and leaves us reviews. You've taken a good amount of your time out of your day, and we truly appreciate it. Thanks again, and don't be afraid to email us at marketing@solsyst.com. with your tips for the podcast, or maybe you'd even like to be a guest during an episode.